Cavalcade of Kings. Henry the Fifth. The Royal Cavalcade of England's Monarchs rides on with the spirit of Henry the Fourth to bear them company. Henry the Fifth, who succeeded his father on the English throne, was born in the castle of Monmouth on the 9th August 1387. Carefree, hail fellow well met, he was the idol of the young bloods of his time and their willing accomplice in many a prank. Later, he was to develop into a brave soldier, a firm disciplinarian, and a brilliant general. Henry was crowned king on the 10th of April 1413, and shortly afterwards, we find him with his nobles discussing an important matter.
My lords, 'twas an infamous act to imprison the Earl of March, who is guiltless of any crime but that of being a claimant to the throne. And I insist that he be set free at once.
But, Your Majesty, it would be dangerous to set him free. For years he has been held prisoner in Windsor Castle, and the years will have whetted his appetite for revenge.
He would scarce be human were it not so. Nevertheless, he shall be liberated, and I shall do all in my power to recompense him for the injustice which others have put upon him.
So be it, Your Majesty. But by the saints, I like it not.
Then there is another matter which galls me. The son of Hotspur.
Hotspur, who incited the people to rebel against thy saintly father, sire?
Hotspur paid the supreme penalty for his treachery, my lord. Is it just that we should bear malice against his innocent son and strip him of the honor and estates which rightfully belong to him?
His father lost them by rebellion, sire.
And I mean to restore them to young Percy by an act of Christian clemency. See that ye attend to it.
It shall be as ye command, sire.
Henry, my son, the church commends thee for thy Christian grace in the matter of the Earl of March and young Percy. But there is another matter wherein such clemency would not be appreciated by the church.
My lord bishop refers to Sir John Oldcastle?
Yea, my son, Oldcastle the heretic.
He is my friend, my lord bishop.
Surely, my son, the King of England will not claim as friend one who is the enemy of the church.
You threaten me, my lord?
Oh, no, my son. I but seek to point out the impossibility of such a friendship. And I must insist that Oldcastle pay the penalty, yea, the supreme penalty for this heresy.
The Lord Bishop means
that Oldcastle must die, yea, die at the stake. And may the flames devour the evil spirits that dwell in his heart as they consume his worthless body.
Before I pass such a sentence upon my friend, I must have time in which to try to convert him.
I command ye to sentence him to death at once.
Would seem that my lord bishop forgets that 'tis the king's privilege alone to command.
Henry, my son.
Nay, not another word. Oldcastle shall first be given the opportunity to recant. 'Tis but justice.
'Tis justice that will be misapplied, my son.
That we shall see, my lord bishop. At last.
Greetings, Your Majesty.
Greetings, messenger. What news from France?
Grave tidings, sire. The nobles repudiate Your Majesty's claim to the French throne.
Repudiate it?
Yes, sire. Moreover, they refuse Your Majesty's conditions regarding the Princess Catherine and yourself, sire. They consider my demands in the matter of her dowry extravagant.
What alternatives do they offer in place of the throne and the dowry?
Possibly a small portion of Normandy. And they will agree to a marriage settlement of 800,000 crowns.
A small portion of Normandy and 800,000 crowns, eh? Which is an insult and outrage. Have the French poodles forgotten the lesson which my great-grandfather, Edward III, taught them? Have they forgotten the might of England, that they seek to dictate such terms to her ruler?
It would seem so, sire.
Then they must learn their lesson all over again. But first, I would know something of the political state of the country.
It is a state of chaos, sire. The mad King Charles still gibbers on the throne, incapable of guiding his nobles in matters of state or of leading his armies in war. The Duke of Orleans has been foully murdered in the streets of Paris by hirelings of the Duke of Normandy, who has set himself up as the master of France.
And the Dauphin, Louis,
has his own followers, sire. So it would seem that France is in the terrible condition of being torn asunder by three separate parties. Hatred and intrigue are rife. and the country is at the mercy of any power which cares to take advantage of her divided people.
Then 'tis high time that I, who am the legal claimant to the French crown by right of succession, should take a hand at its affairs. Bid my generals marshal my troops at Southampton, from whence we shall embark for France.
Henry landed in France and took Harfleur. Later, he marched on Calais, and at the moment we find him encamped with his army near the village of Agincourt. It is the eve of one of the most famous battles in history. Henry is addressing his men.
Man of England, we are but 9,000 against 60,000 of the French. I have heard some of you express the wish that our numbers were greater, but I would not have one man more. For the fewer the men, the greater the honor. I do not covet riches, nor power, but if to covet honor be a sin, then I am the greatest sinner alive. And in this battle, the honor of your king and your country is at stake. I know you will not see it trampled in the mud and gore of the battlefield. Harry, I hear you call me. Ah, my good friends, it seems a lifetime since I heard myself addressed as such. It pleases me mightily to hear you use the name, for it makes us comrades, not only in arms, but in heart. Sire, to serve ye is a privilege and an honor. Ah, good Sir Thomas, I thank ye, but I like not the thought of thy venerable head sleeping upon rough stones. A softer pillow should be thy reward after many years of loyal service. It is said that ye followed my beloved father into many a battle.
That is true, sire. And now I count it a singular honor to serve his beloved son. For what matters if my hair is white and my bones gnarled with age, when my sword arm is strong and my heart is as of oak, and whilst there is red blood surging in my veins, I will continue to serve my king and my country until that blood is spilt upon the field of honor. May God in heaven bless thee, noble Harry.
I am thrice blessed, brave old heart, in possessing thy loyalty. And now go ye to thy tents, men of England, and rest. For tomorrow we go to meet the foe. O God of battles, steel my soldiers' hearts. Give them courage, fortitude, and strength in defeat, and mercy in victory.
The Battle of Agincourt was fought and won by Henry against overwhelming odds. 2 years later, Henry again invaded France and conquered all before him. On the 21st of May, 1420, the Perpetual Peace Treaty was signed at Troyes, under which Henry was proclaimed regent and heir of France. He also received the French king's youngest daughter, Catherine, in marriage. And at the moment, we find Henry and his future bride rowing on an ornamental lake in the gardens of her father's palace.
Would that I could express in words the emotion which burns in my heart, sweet Catherine. Oh, but I fear me my tongue is not that of a poet's, nor yet a lover's. And I have but the uncouth words of a soldier.
Pardonnez-moi, but I cannot say which verse your majesty should speak, for I know so little anglais.
I am glad, for it will give me untold joy to teach thee the language of my people. Catherine, you like me a little?
A little what, your majesty?
Oh, a little bit, piece.
No, no, not in pieces. That would be very terrible, very much blood.
Ah, no. No, you sweet angel. I don't mean broken in pieces. I mean, do you love me?
I cannot tell. What is that?
I will try to tell thee in French, my sweet. Mm-hmm. Although methinks 'tis easier to win 10 battles, nay, to conquer France herself than to speak her language. Vous le amour. Oh, by the saints, 'tis impossible. I but make a mock of myself.
But no, ma chérie de mon coeur, it is très, oh, how you say, très charming. Before the rest, speak l'anglais.
Ah, but then you would not understand my words, Catherine, beloved. Oh, forsooth, was ever a man in worse predicament.
I will look deep in your majesty's eyes. Perhaps I shall see there more than his lips can tell me, n'est-ce pas?
Ah, then look, beloved. Look deeply. Look deeply whilst the heart of Harry of England speaks through them. I love thee, Catherine, with all my heart, and I would give my soul to have you take my hand and say, Harry of England, I love thee. Take me, I am thine. Ah, Catherine, have compassion on a rough soldier who seeks to woo the maid he adores, but only succeeds in affrighting her with the roughness of his ill-chosen words.
I can only understand a few of them, Bert, your majesty.
And what are they, beloved?
Harry of England, take me, I am thine.